Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Aren't you glad you got nothing to worry about? I said, aren't you glad you got nothing to worry about? Some of you thought you did for a moment. Thank God we got nothing to worry about. Hallelujah. That is good news right there. Praise the Lord. Don't got a thing in the world to worry about. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. All right. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be just fine. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God forever. Why don't we open our Bibles to Isaiah 59 this morning? That's a good way to start things off right there. Happy. Just flat out happy. Just happy. Because happy hearts hook up easily to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Happy hearts hook up easily to Him. Because He's happy. He's not depressed. The devil's depressed. The devil is full of unrest. And when you're depressed, it's because you're full of unrest. But we're blessed. We're not full of unrest. We're blessed. Amen. So we're not worried. Not worried about a thing. Not worried about tomorrow. But the devil, poor little fella, he knows he has but a short time. He knows his number's just about up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Oh, what a scary day. Oh, scary day. Oh, scary day. When Jesus comes back to meet the devil and make him pay back. Make him pay back everything he's stolen. Every life he stole. Everything he stole. It's all going to have to be paid back. And throughout all eternity, the devil will be paying off his debt to humanity. Paying off his debts to you and I. Just paying for it. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. Don't feel too sorry for him. He's getting exactly what he deserves. He's getting God's justice. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. But you and I are blessed. And we're free. And we know it. And we're not ashamed to show it. We're not going to be ashamed to show it. We're a free people. We're a blessed people. Bible says in the book of Peter, you're a peculiar people. We're peculiar because we're not like the world. We don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't worry like the world. I think that's probably the thing that should distinguish us from the world more than anything else, is how worry-free we are, how trouble-free we are, how full of rest we are. We're not like the devil and those that are under his power, in his kingdom, full of restlessness. No. We're full of rest. We're full of peace. We're full of joy because of what God has done for us. What he has done for us. I'm telling you, that should be the greatest distinguishing difference between the world and you and me. Rest. No worry. Worry free. Worry free. If you're worrying, you're just being carnal. You're being carnal and acting like a mere human. just acting like a mere man, acting like somebody that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know what the Lord's done for him. So we got to remind ourselves what the Lord has done for us all the time. And just remind ourselves, you know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself. Say, Jesus set me free. Jesus bought and paid for me. Glory to God. He's my Lord. That means he's the leader of my life. That means my life is in his care. Which means I know everything's going to turn out all right. If my life is in his hands, then everything's going to turn out all right. Don't you think the Lord knows how to cause things to turn out good? Yeah, it doesn't matter how bitter it's been, he'll make it sweet. Doesn't matter how bland it might feel, he'll cause it to be blessed. Hallelujah. Ooh, when you know that by faith, you can just be cheerful. You can just cheer up. Just cheer up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just cheer yourself up in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's try that again. My God shall supply all my needs. Every one of them. According to his riches in the glory. Hallelujah. So we're just going to get up and shine. Arise and shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. It's out of the glory that the riches come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Somebody say, God's on me. Yes, he is. You need to arise and shine. We see that right here in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. When you know it's on you, you'll get up. And you'll shine. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. So it tells us he's not going to arise over everybody. Who's he going to arise over? Those who arise and shine. The Lord will arise over those who will arise and shine. See, it starts by faith with us. You got to recognize the glory of the Lord's upon me. God is on my life. I know it because the Bible tells me so. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to arise and shine. And when you arise by faith in what you believe about the glory of God being upon you and all your needs being met according to it, then what's going to happen? Verse 2 tells you, the Lord will arise over you. Come on. The Lord will arise over you. When you recognize the Lord's over you and you arise, it's time to tell yourself, get up. Get up, rock. Get up. Get up. Shake yourself from the dust. Shake yourself from the cares of this life. Are you kidding me? The cares of this life. Come on. Are you kidding me? You're carrying those around still. Shake yourself. Get up and shine. Shine with the light of God. Know that God is on your side. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Come on. Somebody say, I am anointed. I'm anointed. That's right. The word Christ means to be anointed. The anointed one. It's talking about being anointed. And you're a Christian. That's what you are. Are you a Christian? Bless God, you're an anointed one. I said, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit. You're anointed with the power of God. You're anointed with the life of God. You got the Word of God. This lethal weapon of the Spirit. You've got it in the arsenal of your heart. Arise, shine, and speak it forth. Declare it. Cut through that darkness. Cut through that darkness. Come on. Light is not afraid of the darkness. The only people that are afraid of the darkness are the ones that don't have any light. Because when the darkness comes, they can't see. But those that got the light aren't afraid of darkness. Amen. You know, let's just say you went into the camper's catalog and you ordered yourself a nice big light for your next camping trip. you know, some real nice, powerful light. Now you got this thing, glory to God. Man, you're just waiting for nightfall to use it. Kind of be silly for you to just go out there in broad daylight with the light, right? I mean, you just bought this thing, paid all kinds of money for it. You want to use your new light. You're kind of looking forward to the darkness. You can't wait for nightfall so you can take out your light. And you're not worried about the light. Isn't that right? Somebody say, I got light. I got the light of God's word. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Some of you have the light, but you haven't turned it on yet. You say, how do you turn on the light, Pastor Stephen? How do you turn on the light? You get turned on to Jesus. You get more turned on to Jesus and more turned on to God than you are to the things of the world. The things that you're anxious about, the things that you're being tempted to worry about. Be more turned on to Jesus. Be more turned on to the word, glory to God. Speak it forth. What's going to happen? Man, that light's going to be turned on. That light's going to shine forth from your life. Hallelujah. Not only will you have light for yourself to light up your path, to be able to see plentifully where you're to go and what you're to do and what's going on around you. Not only will you have plenty of light, but you'll be a light to others. You'll be able to bring others onto the right path and help guide them in the right direction when you got light. Friend, I got news for you. We got more than enough light for ourselves. I see we got more than enough. We don't have to worry about ourselves anymore. Ha! Glory to God. Don't have to worry about our lives anymore. Don't have to worry about ourselves anymore. We got plenty of light for ourselves. Now it's time to just lift it up. Lift up that light as a standard for other people to be able to see. For other people to be able to be rescued. For other people to be drawn and brought back onto the right path. Amen. It's time to let our light shine. I'm telling you, the devil has no weapon and no defense against the light of God's word. He's got no defense. He can't do anything as long as the light's shining. The devil can't do nothing. The devil's hands are tied. He is bound. He's all bound up when the light's shining bright. I'm telling you, the devil, and he's your enemy, he can't do nothing to you if you got the light on. If the light is shining, the devil can't touch you. He can lie to you. He can try to deceive you. He can try to tempt you. But that's going to be hard for him to do if you're walking in the light. You'll be easily able to resist him. Easily able to do it. Somebody say, thank God for the light. Hallelujah. We got more than enough. We got more than enough. Now it's time to arise. Arise like never before. Shine like never before. Display the light of God. Display the life of Jesus. Display the life of God. That anxiety-free life. It's time to display it like never before. And as we do, we will become a great and mighty standard for the world around us. Notice here in Isaiah 59, just going back a little bit. In verse 19, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. A standard again. We talked about last time how the devil comes in like a flood, doesn't he? He's a flood of ungodliness, just tries to come in, overflow all the boundaries, and just try to sweep everyone and everything away in his flood. And then he comes in. The Bible says the Lord has a standard that he lifts up against him. And this standard, once again, is too high for the devil to overcome. This standard's too wide for the devil to get around. The standard is too deep for the devil to get under it. And the standard is just too solid for the devil to get through it. He just can't penetrate God's standard. And when we lift up the word of God, live according to God's word, we become a living standard for God or of God in this world. We become a living standard for Him. So the Lord wants to lift us up. As the enemy tries to come in like a flood into our society, into our nation, God wants His church to be a standard that He can lift up against the devil. Cut him off. I'm telling you, the devil is completely powerless and unable to gain any ground so long as the standard of God's word, God's light, is shining bright in the earth. But if he can get people to just sit down, people, I'm talking about God's people. If he can get God's people to just sit down, to not arise, to not shine with the light, if he can get God's people to just be intimidated, to back off and back down from the word of God, because after all, we want to please people. You know, I mean, you can't win people unless you try to please people. But that's just not what the Bible says, yet that's how a lot of folks think. And so a lot of folks in the church world have compromised their convictions, and they have sought to please men, and thereby have laid down much of the truths of God's word in order to not be offensive. But friend, how many people know I'd rather be offensive to wicked people and sinful people than offensive to God? By despising His word, putting His word, casting His truth behind my back. No, those who stand in God will be the ones left standing in these last days. And everybody that has sought the wisdom of men and has sought to please men to try to make it through these times, they'll be swept away by that flood, by this flood of ungodliness that the enemy brings in. So we're not going to back down, and we're not going to back up from God's word. And as long as we do in our personal life, the devil, he's not going to be able to just come and do whatever he wants to do. Remember, Jesus said he's like a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour. He can't just devour anybody he wants to devour whenever he wants to devour them. He's looking for an opening. He's looking for where the standard is not being displayed. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for that foothold. He's looking for that loophole where he can get in and sweep things, sweep people away. But if we'll keep the standard up, he can't come into our personal life. Hallelujah. Man, we talked about it. I mean, it's just like you could be standing right there. Here comes this flood. Here comes this huge wave coming right at you. But you could just stand there and not be intimidated. Not have a care in the world. Not have a worry in the world. And just know, the ground will just open it up, drink it in. But it will not sweep you away. It's the thing, like, it's either going to be drunk up by the ground, or it's going to split or something, but it's not going to sweep you away if you're standing on the word of God, if you're shining the light of God's word at it. It's not going to take you away. But we are seeing the enemy gain a lot of ground in our nation and in other nations around the world. He is gaining ground, and he's doing things in nations that, especially in this nation, that he's never been able to do before. And the floodwaters are rising in America. The floodwaters are rising. The enemy's flood is increasing. But the only reason why it's increasing, the only reason why it can be increasing, is because the standard is diminishing. That's the only way the enemy's flood can increase in the land, is the standard of God's word, his church, has to diminish. Notice this over here in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Bible has a lot to say throughout the word of God about these last days that we're living in. To help us to be able to identify the signs of the times, recognize what's going on, what's going to be going on, so that we're not caught by surprise. Isn't God good? To give us the inside scoop, to give us foreknowledge, so that we're not panicking like the world. When I say, well, why is this happening? How could this be happening? Well, we know exactly how it could be happening. God told us it was going to happen. We could see right here in the Word of God that it was coming. It was forecasted that this was coming. I mean, you're not surprised. Even on a nice sunny day, nice and sunny out, maybe just a few clouds in the sky, if you have your Doppler radar on your phone, you're not surprised when suddenly at 4 o'clock everything turns green. And suddenly you can't see the sun shining. And the winds pick up and a big storm comes in. You say, how could this be happening? It was so sunny. I mean, we were just enjoying a nice, sunny, wonderful day. You're not surprised when you've got radar, are you? No, you're not surprised when you've got text alerts on your phone. I mean, while it's yet still nice out, you go over your phone, what in the world? Severe thunderstorm. You look around and think, how could that be? And you go over there and click the thing and you look at your radar. And you look and say, oh my, there's a monster coming. A monster storm coming. See, now you look around, it doesn't look that way, but you look on your phone, there it is. There it is. So at that point, you're not going to go ahead and go forward with the picnic at 1 o'clock. Are you? You see, no big storm hitting at 1 o'clock. I'm not going to have the picnic at 1 o'clock. You could change your plans. This is, why would you change your plans? It's great out here. Sky is clear. No, look, I have radar. There's something coming. Darkness is coming. Something evil is coming. So we need to make provision for it. We need to change our plans. We need to change some of the things that we're doing. It's not business as usual today. We're going to do things a little differently today in preparation for what is coming, so that when it comes, we're not caught off guard. I mean, I wish there was a text Bible alert. You know, it'd be nice. Somebody should try to create that, create an app for that, you know, where you're going along and all of a sudden, beep, 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 you look down and your phone's flashing and a scripture comes up. Tells you exactly what's coming this afternoon. Wouldn't that be nice? It is nice. And I have one. It's in my heart. And so do you, if you have the Holy Ghost. And you didn't go into your settings and turn it off. Turn off all alerts. That's what a lot of Christians do. They got this great app from heaven alerting them to everything, to the times. But then they go into their settings. That's not for today. That's not for today. No, I wasn't taught that in my church. No, I don't much believe in that. No, that's kind of weird. No. That went out with the last apostle. No, no, no. And then they're walking around, and the devil's coming with a flood. God's trying to give them tsunami warnings. He's trying to give them earthquake warnings. He's trying to give them all kinds of warnings. Spiritual earthquakes. Spiritual tsunamis. Trying to wake them up and let them know. Just like Jesus did with his disciples right before going to the cross. There he was in that garden, warning them, watch and pray with me. The hour has come. This is it. The Son of Man's about to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Pray. Tired. I want to go to sleep. They turned off all the settings. They didn't listen to Jesus. He went in there, woke him up three times.
Why aren't you watching him praying? Don't you understand what's going on? Don't you understand what's coming down on us? Oh, it's just another night. It's just another day in the garden. We can sleep. We can take care of this later. And they slept their time away until suddenly they were abruptly awoken by their circumstances. And in a panic, they ran off. One of them even ran off naked. Lost his robe, the Bible says. Took off running. I mean, they were in a panic. They were all scattered because they didn't understand what was going on. Jesus knew exactly what was coming. He knew exactly what was about to happen, and he was more than ready for it, wasn't he? He had watched, he had prayed, he had gotten his soul settled in God. He had settled him down and was no longer anxious and worried. He was in rest. He was in rest, even knowing what was about to come. And they came, and they took him. But man, he just went out with his head high, and they bound him, and they struck him, and they threatened him, and he opened not his mouth. Wow, what a Jesus. Rock solid. Rock solid. Hey, devil could not penetrate him. Couldn't get him to cast off his faith. No, he just stood there rock solid and just allowed the enemy to threaten and do all the things that he had already predetermined for them to do to him. Total in control. Total control. Total control. Even in the hands of the wicked. And of course, Jesus isn't the only one. You see those that believed on him afterwards. So many of them, his disciples. So many disciples throughout history have died courageously for the gospel. Have stood firm, had stood tall in the face of their lives being threatened, their lives about to be taken. And some of them went to their deaths singing praises to God. Come on. Praises to God, being burned at the stake, crucified themselves, praising God, magnifying God. How did they do that? They knew it was coming. See, the Holy Spirit, he shows us things to come. Jesus told his disciples, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I do go away, then the Holy Spirit will come to you. You'll have someone who's just like me, my spirit, living on the inside of you. You see, what could be better than having Jesus next to you, nudging you to stay awake and watch and pray and warning you? Holy Spirit in you, nudging you, warning you. What we have is actually better than what the disciples had in the garden. We have an upgraded alarm system. Our app has been upgraded after the resurrection of Jesus. We've got an upgrade. We can hear. We can know. Nothing needs to catch us by surprise. Jesus even told Peter. I mean, he had a walk with Peter on the beach after he rose from the dead. He talked to Peter and he told him, he said, now the day's going to come where men are going to take you, they're going to bind you, and they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. And he was talking about the death by which Peter would glorify God. He was showing him things to come. And Peter, according to the Fox's Book of Martyr, according to history, it's not written in the Word of God, but according to history, Peter was fleeing because he heard they were coming to get him, and then Jesus appeared to him. As he was fleeing, and Jesus told him, I've come to be crucified again. I've come to die again. And he knew, Peter understood what Jesus was telling him to do. And Peter went back into the city, and he allowed himself to be taken. And then when they were going to crucify him, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. And they flipped the cross upside down and crucified him upside down. What a man of faith. Come on. Powerful. Powerful, rock solid, right? And Jesus even referred to him as Peter and said, Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church. Peter means stone. A stone is a chip off the old rock. That's what a stone is. That's exactly what Peter came to be. Isn't that right?
He became rock solid. God wants us to be rock solid, not shaken, not worried, not collapsing in the face of calamity, but be able to stand up against it, smile at it, resist it, not worry about it. Because that's why people collapse. It's because of their worry of a thing, not so much the thing. It's your worries that'll destroy you. Not a lack of money. Not an ugly spouse. Not a no spouse. Not a this, not a that. Those aren't the things that are going to destroy you. Worry. That's what wipes people out. I said worry is what wipes people out. But what do we have to worry about? We know the Lord. I said, we know the Lord. And in our, just, some of you need to check your settings right now. Just, can you just check your settings right now? And some of you, you'll notice that, oh man, all my settings are not set right. I got to turn everything on. Open, and on. I am open to Jesus. I am open to God. Come on, reach in there. Just do that right now. Just open. Just do it by faith. Go ahead. Humor me. Humor yourself. Turn it all on. Some of you got some blockage. Turn those on. Some stinking thinking. Now everybody's on. I feel powered up. Now you can be confident and know that you know, you'll know everything you need to know when you need to know it. Yes. Say, I know.
I'll know.
Everything I need to know. When I need to know it. Not worry about a thing. I'll have. Everything I need to have. When I need to have it. Not worried about a thing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Yes. Thank God. So we can stand up, we can stand tall, and be that standard on display in this world. That rock solid, unwavering, not worried about anything. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not worried about anything. Hallelujah. And if the devil can't get us to drop our standard, he can't do very much. But notice what he said is coming in these last days, and it has already come and will come to a greater degree in the days ahead. Notice this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Aren't you glad the day's come we're all going to be gathered to him? Now, people have some pretty wild ideas about that. But let's go on. And concern our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. Either by spirit or by word or by letter. As if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. As though the day of Christ had come. But think about it, if you're here and the day of Christ has already come, then you would have been left behind. Because if you're here and he came, then you just got left behind. Right? But he said, you never have to worry about that. That'll never happen. I'm sorry, some of you are going to have to throw out some videos. I understand that. But the Bible just said it'll never happen. I got news for you. This scripture right here is good. It was good back in the day. It's good today. It will be good tomorrow. It'll be good in the tribulation. It'll be good after the tribulation. That scripture will be good in the millennium, and it'll be good throughout all eternity. Because this is the word of God. It's eternal. And he said, there'll never be a day that'll come, according to the scripture, where you have to worry that you've been left behind, as though the day of Christ has already come. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. So in other words, there'll probably be a lot of folks in the last days that'll come up with doctrines that would try to deceive you in this area, that could be so. right? But that will not be so. He just told you right there. Let no one deceive you about these things. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction. Notice that. He says that day will not come until this falling away comes first. Now, the word in the Greek for falling away is the Greek word apostasia. It's where we get our English word apostasy. And the word apostasy means a total desertion of or departure from one's religion, principles, or cause, etc. What does apostasy mean? A total desertion. Some people know God is not a deserter. Jesus is not a deserter. You and I are not deserters. We're not going to desert the world in their most darkest hour. Jesus doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. The church should not do that. We're not going to desert people in their darkest hour. No. That's when the light shines the brightest, even in the face of death. So that's what the word apostasy means, a total desertion of or departure from one's religion, principles, cause, etc. So he's telling us here that something's coming in these last days. Before Christ returns, there's going to be a great apostasy that's going to take place in the church. Many are going to depart from the faith. Many are going to depart from their beliefs in Christ. Many are going to desert the church, desert the Lord, depart from Him in these last days. And this man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, hold your place here and go with me to Matthew 24, because this isn't just an isolated scripture talking about these. There's several scriptures that talk about this great falling away, this turning away from the Lord. Here in Matthew 24, and in verse, of course, we could go all the way back here to verse 3, which says, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" That's a big thing. When it comes to the last days, there's going to be a lot of deceptions. And there are a lot of deceptions in the world, in the church world today. So you've got to really take heed that no one deceives you. How do you take heed that no one deceives you? You take time with the Lord. You take time with the Lord. That's the only way you can take heed that no one deceives you. If you don't take time with the Lord, you're not taking heed that no one deceives you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are deceived and will be deceived. And won't even know you're deceived. That's all part of the deception. That's all part of being deceived. You don't know you're being deceived. A lot of folks think, they're too smart. They know too much. They'd never get deceived. Well, that's just pride right there. You're already deceived. You're already deceived about yourself. You think you're stronger than you are. You got to take time with the Lord, folks. Jesus said, take heed. Take heed. Take time. Take time with Him. Take time in His Word. Get to know this Word for yourself. It's amazing how many doctrines, last day doctrines, people stand on as though they've heard from God when they never heard from God at all. It's just popular teaching. It's just what they have been hearing so much of, and it's so popular that, of course, that's the way it is. But they have not heard from God for themselves. They're not taking their time with him to hear for themselves. But you take time with him, I'm telling you, God will wake you up. He will shake you. He will open your eyes. He'll unplug your ears. He will warn you. He will show things up that are not right. He's done it to me. I said he's done it to me. I mean, there's been some things that I thought for sure was, you know, this was the way it was going to be in the last days. And so, you know, I didn't even question it. But because I take time with him, because I was in the garden with him, when I lied down to go to sleep, he woke me up. Actually, I didn't even actually fall asleep. I was lying on my bed trying to sleep. I could not sleep because he was determined to get something over to me. And he gave me revelation about some things in the last days that go against a lot of the popular teaching in the church world today. But he woke me up to it. Nobody could talk me out of it, and it agrees thoroughly with the scriptures. What am I saying? Take heed. Take time with Jesus. Build your relationship with him. It is your protection from deception. You will be deceived. You will be deceived. Deception will increase in your life if you don't take time with Jesus. If you don't take time in the truth. All right? Now, take time means make time. That doesn't mean when I find time. This is where a lot of folks are missing it. Because they take time, they make time to get to work on time and to do other very timely things in their life. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to spending time with the Lord, well, if we find time, we'll find time sometime today, I'm sure. It never happens. Finding time won't happen. You got to make time. You've made time to be here today. You had to take that time. You had to take possession of this time to be with the Lord now. You had to take it. It didn't just fall on you. It didn't chase after you. You took it. Amen. Now you need to do that every day. What time will you be taking, purposing to take tomorrow with the Lord? How many people know what time they're going to meet with the Lord tomorrow? You need to know. Every hand should go up. I know exactly what time I meet with the Lord tomorrow. I know what time I'm going to work tomorrow. I know what time I'm going to do this tomorrow and do that tomorrow. You need to know what time you're going to be with the Lord tomorrow. If you don't take the time, you will not find the time, and thus you will not spend the time with him. And what's going to happen? You're going to be deceived. And everything I'm telling you today is really going to be worthless to you in the days ahead because you didn't do the number one thing he told you to do. Take time. Take heed. Take heed. Can you say amen? Did you get that? Yes. How many people got it? Yes. Wave at me. How many people going to do it? Yes. Somebody say, I'm a doer of the word. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, I mean, now more than ever, yes. We need to meet together. You need to be at church. Not just Sunday, but you need to be at church on Wednesday. Yes. Wednesday night is God's will for your life. Yes. That's the time he set up for you. Now, some of you just, yeah, well, if I feel like it, well, I don't really know. Wednesday night, only excuses. I understand that. Listen, this isn't for me. You come here Wednesday night, it's not going to change me. I'm going to be here. Whether you're here or not, I'm going to be here. So you could be here, half the city could be here, nobody could be here. I'm going to be here, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be smiling, and I'm going to be walking by faith and not by sight. So this isn't for me, this is for you. I'm letting you know, Wednesday night is here. You're supposed to be here Wednesday night. Now you do what you want with that. You can just disregard that, but you could also obey that and get everything you're supposed to get so that you're fully equipped to be able to make it big in these last days. Not just survive, but make it big. God has equipment for you. And he put specific things in my heart to minister to you. I've been ministering almost a year now on healing on Wednesday nights. Divine healing. Walking in divine health. Some of you might not think you need that right now, but you might need it down the road. But will you be ready? to be able to face the crises of life if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in taking your time with the Lord. Take heed. Take this seriously. This is a strong word from God. Take heed to it. Take it seriously. Be in the right place so God can fully equip you, so you can laugh when the flood comes. Hallelujah. When things try to sweep you away, you can just stand up and laugh at it. Say, no, bless God. I took my time. I've taken heed. I've walked with God. I know what I need to know. Hallelujah. When I need to know it, I know it. I got it. You'll be amazed when you get into a crisis how many things will come to your remembrance that he showed you back here. He showed it to you back here. And suddenly it becomes revelation to you in the face of crisis that causes faith to rise up and quench that fiery dart of the wicked one. Are you hearing me? I want my face shield strong. Take heed that no one deceives you. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. So he's talking about the last days and all the troubles that are coming. Verse 9, he says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's not fun in the flesh, right? Why does everybody hate me? Now, they won't hate you if you conform to them. See? If you will go ahead and just conform and not stand up and be salt in their wound. If you'll just calm down, cool off, chill out, back off, back down. Lower your standard. He said, then nobody's going to hate you. Nobody's going to hate you. They're all going to love you very much. But there are those that are going to stand their ground on the truth. And are they going to be loved for it by everybody? No, but they're going to be loved by God. They're going to be loved by lovers of God. They're going to be loved by the family of God. They're going to be loved and adored by the saints in heaven. Amen. But here on earth, you're going to be considered a nasty thing, a troublemaker, a cause of division. You polarize society. They're going to say all kinds of things about you. They're going to hate you. You'll be hated. There won't be a nation for you to go to and hide from. Notice it, all nations. Now, America has never been a nation that has hated Christians. Right? But he said, in the end, all nations are going to hate you. Not America. America was built on God we trust. All nations will hate you. That's what's coming. Not going to be a nation in the world. You can go and they're going to say, we love you. Hated by all nations for my name's sake, because you stand up for the name of Jesus. Stand up for the truth. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. There it is. There's that betrayal. There's that desertion. There it is. Here's that departure. Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. I'm talking about within the very church world, among believers. He says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You know, when Christians are offended, they get off into all kinds of false doctrines. Being an offended Christian is such a dangerous thing. It opens you up to such deception. All kinds of false teachings, ridiculous teachings. And I tell you, there's a lot of offended Christians in the world today. They got a problem with this church. They got a problem with that church. They're so full of it, they can't even hold it back long. I mean, you talk to them just for any length of time, next thing they got something to say about that church. That church we came out of. You're offended. Which is what's going to increase in the last days. They're offended. That opens you up to deception. Because if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness. And the sad thing about it is, these folks don't even know they're walking in darkness. They don't even know they're walking in darkness. I don't have anything against anybody. I'll just let you know that right now. I don't have anything against anybody. After all we did for them, and then they treated us. I didn't do it for them, I did it for Jesus. I do what I do as unto the Lord. I do it unto God. What are you doing it under?
I can't believe they did that to
you. What's God done to you? What's God doing for you? What's your eyes on? Get your eyes off of the flesh. You can't see straight anyway with your flesh. Stop trusting in it. A lot of folks got things so wrong, it's ridiculous. Because they're trusting in their human reasoning. What they saw, what they think. They think so much about it, and then they talk so much about it, till finally after a while, it becomes reality to them. They think it's reality. It ain't reality. They're deceived. You can't trust in yourself. Just keep looking at the light of the world. Keep looking at Jesus. Just keep looking at the truth, man. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. Jesus paid for it. Any good thing you ever did for somebody, Jesus has already paid you back for it. And according to his word, he isn't even done yet. He's going to keep paying you back. So what are you worried about? You want men to pay you back, or you want God to pay you back? If you want God to pay you back, stop worrying about men and how they did you wrong and how you deserve better from them. You deserve hell in a handbasket, just like me. Come on, somebody. Let's get the offense out. Let's not love our lives so much that we're so easily offended. We're touchy. They took my seat at church. They didn't have time to meet with me. Nobody has time for me at that church. I feel so excluded. Nobody wants. Oh, get over yourself. Are you kidding me? Why don't you lay your life down for the church? Stop asking what your church and the body of Christ can do for you and start asking, what can you do for the body of Christ? Yes. Yes. I've heard that somewhere before. Not quite like that. What can you do for somebody? You've had enough done for you. You had the Son of God die for you. And you want to whine because you folded the underwear. And nobody appreciated it. You got to be kidding me. Ridiculous. All the division. All the strife. And we need to hit this thing head on. Why? Because I'm looking at the radar. It says a big storm of offense is increasing and it's coming. Yes. And you need to make preparation to say, I am not going to love my life. I'm not going to worry about myself. Jesus gave me everything I need, everything I need. He provides for me. He's my provider. I'm not worried. Amen. Forgive me, Lord, for carrying that care. Forgive me, Lord, for being offended. How dare I hold anything against anyone when you have canceled all my debts that I've committed against you? How dare I? We judge ourselves harshly of these things, and we will not be judged. These things will not get in our life. Can you say amen? Verse 11, then many false prophets, see, all that deception comes in because the church is offended. All these crazy doctrines. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Cold weather is in the forecast. Cold hearts. Why? Lawlessness. Lawlessness. Everybody say lawlessness. That's a bad word. That's a spiritual curse word. Lawlessness is not good. Beware of those that would try to rid us of the law of God. Friend, I got news for you. There is lawlessness in our government right now. Only because the church is lawless and boasting in being lawless. I'm not under the law. Well, I understand that, but that doesn't mean you're an outlaw. That doesn't mean you're without the law. There is no law. The commandments, that's Old Testament. We do all that away. Wow. According to my Bible, the Bible says that the new creation has the commandments now, not on stone, but written on their hearts. They're born again, recreated hearts in Christ Jesus. Why do they want to cast away the law? It's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I need the law. The law of God is good. The psalmist sung about it. He praised God and thanked God for it. It's good when you're not under it, but you are in it, and it is in you, and you're one with it. And we've been made one with God. We've been made one with the Word of God. We've been made one with the law of God, because that's all a part of the Word of God. And His commandments are written on our hearts that we might not sin against Him. Amen. Thank God for the law. Thank God for the commandments. But because the church has said, no, out with the commandments, we got the government going into courthouses and taking the commandments off the wall and going into memorial sites and removing the commandments out of there and saying that isn't a part of the foundation of our country. That has nothing to do with us. We're an all-inclusive nation. We accept every kind of God, demon God. We're open to anything. Not this, though. Not Jesus Christ. Not the Word of God. So folks are, oh, look. Look what the government's doing. Look what the church is doing. That's where it starts. The standard comes down and the flood comes in. Why are you kicking against the flood, all you little protesters?
Fax your senator. Fax your senator and tell him, we're not going to have this. We're not going to have this in our city. Instead of faxing your senator, why don't you put faith in your God
and get back to being the light of the world and lifting up the Word of God rather than accepting all these doctrines of demons that say lawlessness is the way. Did you get that?
Yes.
Hope that wasn't too harsh. Hope you could receive that. Because we need it. Sometimes we need a little harsh talk. Amen? Come on. You know I love you guys. It's this lawlessness that causes people's love to grow cold. Friend, I got news for you. You gotta have laws around your life. Just like I just said, you gotta take time with the Lord. You gotta set up a law. I get with God every day.
I'm not legalistic. I'm not under the law.
Well, you better have some laws. Because drifters aren't gonna make it in these last days. In fact, that word drifting is actually used over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, notice that again. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. What did Jesus say? Take heed. Take heed that no one deceive you. Here he says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Drifting are for those who are going away. Nobody ever drifts to God. Nobody ever drifts to church. You did not drift to church this morning. I got news for you. You did not drift to church. Why? Because the tide or the current is not flowing towards godliness. Everything in this world is drifting towards hell and destruction. Everything's drifting away from God. So if you're just going to be a drifter, you're going to drift the wrong way down the river. You've got to put the motor in the water. Turn the ignition on. You can't hope you're going to end up down there if the river's flowing that way. You have to turn the engine on, put it in gear, and you must go forward. You must purpose to go against the current in order to get where you want to be, which is more in God and in godliness. Are you hearing me? So we must take heed. We must purpose to do these things. And if we just drift through life without any laws, without any rules, without any boundaries, saying, well, I don't want to be legalistic, then you're going to end up licentiousness, and you're going to drift far from him into deception. And then your heart gets cold. Your heart gets cold. It's hard to praise him. It's hard to do anything when it comes to God and the things of God. Your heart's cold. So you got to set up boundaries. Lawlessness creates drifting that causes us to drift away from God and become cold and callous and indifferent towards spirituality, spiritual things, towards God. Okay? Implementing laws, rules, regulations around our life to be able to grow spiritually. That's what's going to keep our hearts getting warmer, warmer, hotter, and hotter. Hallelujah. So that we will be of those who endure to the end. What does it say? I am saved. Once saved, always saved. Great way to get yourself to drift. He said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So my attitude is, it isn't over till it's over. No, I'm saved. I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I understand that. But it isn't over yet. I'm still here. I still got deceptions. I still got false doctrines. I got all kinds of hateful, ugly things trying to come and get inside my heart. So it isn't over until it's over. This salvation isn't finished until I'm finished with this life. So we need to stay on top of ourselves. Don't take for granted that you've been saved. Don't take for granted you've been born again. Don't take for granted your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, somebody. Let's cherish it. Let's treasure it. Let's protect it. Let's guard it. Let's set boundaries around our life that cause us to draw near to God, to spend time with him, spend time in his word, so that we're not caught by surprise when dark things begin to come across our land. And we'll have plenty of light to be able to stand and be a light to this world. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Let's say this together. Say, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you are my Father. I ask you to forgive me wherever I've been lax, slack, where I've allowed myself to drift. Forgive me. Help me now to take time, quality time, in your word and with you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Let him live big in me now. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come live big in me now. Thank you, God. Help me to be wide open to all your alerts, all your warnings, so I don't have to worry, because you'll show me. You'll tell me everything I need to know when I need to know it. Thank you for supplying all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I arise in that glory, and I shine. I speak your word. I am turned on to the truth. I arise, I shine, my light has come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now say this with me, and if it applies, great. If it doesn't, it's still good. Say this with me. Say, Father, forgive me for holding anything against anyone. I don't want to hold anything against anyone. Nobody owes me anything. I forgive everybody, even as you have forgiven me. Thanks for forgiving me. Cleanse me now from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk in the love of God. Glory to God. Say, I'm walking in the love of God. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not worried. Not worried about a thing. Hallelujah. Jesus has got me covered. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.